This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Jared Bridegan? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Jared Bridegan was born on June 29, 1988, in Warrensburg, Missouri. At a young age, he moved, along with his family, to Jacksonville, Florida. He graduated high school in 2007. He then went to Utah Valley University. In 2014, he graduated with a bachelor's degree in digital media with an emphasis on cinema production. In 2009, Jared met a woman named Shanna Lee Gardner when he was visiting a friend in Florida. Just like Jared, Shanna was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or LDS. Shanna's parents are quite wealthy. They own an arts and crafts company that is popular in the LDS community. In April 2010, Jared and Shanna married in a temple in Salt Lake City, Utah. The couple moved to Connecticut, where they had twins, Liam and Abigail. Due to their son's medical condition, the family moved to Florida. Shanna and Jared received $8,500 a month from her parents as Jared worked on his master's degree. So they were being financially supported by Shanna's parents. At some point in Florida, Shanna allegedly had a romantic relationship with her personal trainer. She denied that there was any infidelity involved. It appears as though Jared disagreed. He once sent a social media message to a friend that read, quote, "In the past 3 months, Shanna has become really distant and got emotionally attached to her personal trainer at the gym and is now divorcing me. But she has her agency, so I just need to move on and find someone to be my best friend again, you know," unquote. Shanna filed for divorce in February of 2015 and wanted primary custody of their twin children. The couple went on to have a long and acrimonious divorce case that ended up shifting over to a custody case. They both filed many motions and petitions. The couple ended up sharing custody of the children, an arrangement that was filled with tension and hostile communication. In 2017, Jared met a woman named Kirsten while using dating apps. She lived in North Carolina and worked for Microsoft. Jared had to drive 6 hours to North Carolina for their first date. After dating for a short time, Kirsten asked to work remotely, and she moved to Florida. The couple married in October of 2017. In August of 2019, they had a daughter named Bexley. In August of 2021, they had a daughter named London. That same year, Jared started working for Microsoft as well. He was a senior design manager. Shanna also moved on from her divorce. Instead of Shanna Bridegan, she was now Shanna Gardner. In 2018, she met a maintenance worker named Mario Fernandez Saldana at a CrossFit gym. Shanna and Mario married that same year. I guess after spending years as a bride again, Shanna just couldn't wait to be a bride again. The couple lived in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, about 45 minutes away from St. Augustine, where Jared and Kirsten lived. Mario managed rental properties, and Shanna ran a baking company. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Wednesday, February 16, 2022, Jared Bridegan dropped off his 9-year-old twin children to his ex-wife, Shanna, at her home in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Jared was driving his Volkswagen Atlas SUV. Bexley, his 2-year-old daughter from his current marriage, was in the back seat. Jared stopped to get ice cream for Bexley. After this, he started driving to his home in St. Augustine. He called his wife, Kirsten, on the way. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. When he was driving south on Sanctuary Boulevard at about 8 p.m., he came upon an obstruction in the road. It was a wheel with a tire on it. At this point, Jared was on a one-lane road, so there was no way to get around the wheel without driving over a curb. Jared brought his SUV to a stop, activated his hazard lights, and opened his door, presumably to remove the wheel from the road. At this point, Jared was shot multiple times. At close range, he did not survive. Several bullets struck the interior of the vehicle near his daughter Bexley, but she was not physically injured. A passerby stumbled upon the scene of the murder about 3 minutes later and notified the police. Here's what the police found during their investigation. They believe the assailant was driving a 2004 Ford F-150 pickup truck. The wheel that was blocking the road was from that model, and a blue Ford F-150 was captured on video surveillance cameras in the area. Jared was unarmed. There was no evidence of a struggle. His wedding ring, cell phone, wallet, wristwatch, and money were not taken. Surveillance cameras showed that the wheel was not in the roadway shortly before the shooting. The police believed that Jared was ambushed. Somebody must have deliberately placed the wheel in his path, knowing that it would block his vehicle and force him to stop. The police eventually learned that a 61-year-old man named Henry Tenen was the owner of the pickup truck. They discovered that he was a tenant in a home in Jacksonville, Florida, which was owned by Mario Fernandez Saldana. Mario wrote 3 checks to Henry, and they had about 70 phone contacts between February and June of 2022. In August of 2022, Henry was arrested for an unrelated felony driving charge and interviewed by the police. In January 2023, Henry was arrested in connection with Jared's murder. He was charged with several offenses, including murder in the second degree with a weapon, conspiracy to commit murder, and accessory after the fact. On March 16, 2023, Henry pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and agreed to testify against his conspirators. This same day, Mario was arrested and charged with 4 offenses, including first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. He pleaded not guilty to all counts. He could be facing the death penalty if convicted. Prior to Mario's arrest, Shanna moved across the country to West Richland, Washington. She took her twins with her. She moved into a home that had recently been purchased by her parents. On August 17, 2023, Shanna Garner was arrested in West Richland. She is facing the same charges and the same possible sentence as her husband, Mario. The state of Florida has not discussed too many details about their case against this trio, but it appears as though they believe that Shanna, Mario, and Henry had entered into a conspiracy to murder Jared Bridegain. Henry was the trigger man and was operating at the direction of the other two. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts in a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number 1. Let's take a look at the background of Henry Tenen. Some people have wondered if he was really the type of person who could have killed someone. Murder, after all, is a big commitment that few criminals will actually make. Henry was born in 1961 in Hawkinsville, Georgia. It's not clear when he moved to Jacksonville, Florida, but it was no later than 1991. Here is some of his criminal history. In 1998, he was arrested for driving with his license suspended or revoked. He found himself facing similar charges in 2000, 2003, and 2016. In 1999, he was arrested for trespassing, battery, and criminal mischief. In 2002, he was charged with obtaining property less than $150. He was arrested for domestic battery in 2003, leaving the scene of an accident with property damage in 2008 and domestic battery in 2013. He had also been arrested for driving under the influence in both 2013 and 2014 in the state of Georgia. In 2022, Henry was arrested for leaving the scene of an accident with property damage. When Henry was arrested for murder, he was already awaiting trial on 2 charges, driving with a suspended or revoked license and possession of a weapon by a felon. Allegedly, a shotgun was found in his vehicle during a traffic stop. It sounds like Henry just didn't get the hint that he was not allowed to drive. All those arrests simply didn't drive the message home. As far as the murder charge, Henry is facing a minimum of 15 years in prison under his plea deal. The state agreed that as far as sentencing, weight would be given to his life expectancy and his early and continuing cooperation. Despite his guilty plea, I think Henry needs to stay in prison for the remainder of his life. Based on his history, it seems as though he has been practicing for years to get his big chance at permanent prison housing. The state should grant him his wish. Item number two, the divorce and custody dispute between Shanna and Jared was highly contentious. The couple fought over just about everything. A few examples, Shanna accused Jared of sending her aggressive, condescending, and ineffective messages and insisted that they needed to work on their communication. Shanna said that Jared would not let her use a newer and smaller breathing machine for their son on a trip that she was planning. Jared eventually gave in, but had a series of demands, including an apology for, quote, perceived past transgressions, unquote. Shanna accused her ex-husband of disturbing behavior. She claimed that he interrogated the twins and coached them on what to say. Jared had his own complaints. He claimed that Shanna locked him out of the master bedroom, planted surveillance devices in the children's bedroom and in his car, and treated him in a disparaging manner in front of his children. Some of Shanna's behavior may hurt her criminal case, like it could make her look guilty. For example, when referring to her ex-husband Jared, Shanna reportedly asked the staff at a tattoo parlor if they knew anyone, quote, who could shut him up, unquote. A staff member at her children's elementary school said that Shanna expressed disdain while talking about Jared. 4 days after the murder, Shanna emailed Kirsten asking her to return library books. In another email, she asked for Jared's death certificate. Shanna hired an attorney not long after the murder. She claimed the intense media coverage had become very loud and it made her children feel unsafe. They were scared, terrified, and struggling. Another thing that probably made them feel unsafe was having their mother allegedly conspire to kill their father. But I noticed that Shanna didn't seem to want to talk about that. After being arrested, Shanna refused to waive extradition. This is an unusual move that rarely grants any benefit to the person who was arrested. In Shanna's case, she's going to be making a trip to Florida, one way or the other. I have a feeling she's going to be staying for a while. Maybe she moved to Washington because she thought she was somehow safer there. Item number three, not a lot is known about Mario. He did have some prior contact with law enforcement, but he was not arrested. Mario was involved in an incident in Jacksonville Beach where a neighbor felt as though he was intimidating her with his pit bull because she was feeding stray cats. Mario claimed that he didn't do anything wrong. Now moving to my final item, what do I think could have happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. It's important to note that Shanna and Mario maintain the presumption of innocence. It seems as though both Shanna and Jared were displeased in their marriage. Maybe this is what led to the personal trainer incident, if that actually happened. When the couple separated, there were a lot of hard feelings. Jared felt betrayed and wanted to move on. Shanna felt as though she was entitled to have primary custody of the children. Jared did not agree. The court proceedings became incredibly hostile. Shanna just could not accept having equal custody of the children. She wanted more than that. She viewed Jared's attempts at obtaining a fair resolution as aggressive and unreasonable. Coming from a position of wealth, Shanna was accustomed to getting her way. She was unwilling to accept anything but complete victory. According to court documents, Shanna may have entered into a conspiracy to kill Jared as early as May of 2015. This means that she was thinking about murdering him for 7 years. These thoughts energized her. They kept her alive. She could not wait for her moment to strike. She would ponder about how great it would feel when she finally learned that Jared was dead. Shanna didn't want to be the one who pulled the trigger, so she needed to find others to assist her. Either she or Mario thought of hiring Henry, a career criminal who was eager to receive a promotion to hitman. Shanna did not care if Jared's daughter was placed in harm's way. She just wanted Jared dead, no matter what. She and her conspirators came up with the roadblock plan to ambush Jared. She knew his routine very well, so it wasn't that difficult. After the murder, Shanna was joyous. She falsely believed that she had distanced herself adequately from the murder and could never be connected to it. Ultimately, her master plan disintegrated after Henry participated in one of his favorite activities, getting arrested. When he cut a deal and Mario was arrested, Shanna knew that her days were numbered. Even a trip to Washington could not wash away her ton of sin.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.